Some people might be asking, which is worse, you not knowing that the trusts were planning to close all their care homes, or you knowing and then trying to blame them when the tide of public opinion went against you?
Well, I've stated something, and I don't do lies, so if you find something different, then you can report that.
Which is it? Did you know that the trusts were planning to close all their homes, and or did you not know and were completely blindsided by this?
It is what I said, and I said it in the House, and it's certainly a very dangerous thing to go to the Assembly and say something which doesn't stand up to be correct. And as indicated, I don't do lies in the first place.
What I'm asking you, Minister, with the greatest of respect, is that the people that may not have had the opportunity to have heard you in the Assembly would like to know the answer to the question. Did you know that the Trust were planning to close all of the homes in the North West, or did you not know?
What I told the Assembly and what I'll say to you now is the first that I became aware of this was on Thursday, a week ago, the Northern Trust were having a board meeting, and on Wednesday they sent my special advisor an email giving him a heads up that it was their intention to close all of the residential homes. That's not something that I had agreed to, it's not something that I'd signed up to, and as I explained to the Assembly yesterday, the powers that was vested in the Trust under the previous Minister enabled them to do that.
What about the Western Trust?
We were informed again a day before they were doing it.
So if they took that decision themselves, totally without your knowledge, and only let you know the day before, who was responsible in the Western Trust for signing off on this closure without your knowledge? And are they going to be disciplined?
Well, I assume that it was a board meeting. It is a board meeting of the Trust that made the decision. It was obviously a recommendation.
I'm sorry, Minister. You assume, don't you know who signed off on that decision at this point in time?
I said that it was the board, and I do assume that it was the Director of Nursing Services that brought it forward before the board. Just let's be clear on where trusts are. Trusts are independent of the department. A department sets policy, trusts implement it. Trusts are responsible to their boards. Their boards are responsible to me. I appoint the boards. I appoint the chair. But the trusts have a fair degree of autonomy. And I suppose when you have a service that costs £4.5 billion, you will need to give people some autonomy and actually carry out their duties. Well, what I have done, and I think, you know, rather than argue about the technical issues around them, what I have done is to step in an unprecedented way and say, listen, folks, you have went too far. You have not done what I believe you should have been doing in transforming your care. And let's just call a halt to this process and let's look how we can implement transforming your care in a way which is to the benefit of all of the public and causes minimum distress to our elderly population.
People will still ask the question, Minister, and I hate to press you on this, but as the Minister for Health, that you didn't know about it. Everybody accepts a certain level of autonomy and a decentralisation of the NHS as something that is happening. But for you not to have any idea, did you not even know informally that this was going to happen?
No, I didn't. And had I known, I would have stopped it at an earlier point or indicated very clearly that this wasn't a route that I believed. Reflected transforming your care, that there were huge risks associated with it, and I would have made it very clear that I was objecting to it at the outset.
Simon is directly on 08459 555 678. One of you has been in touch. This is what we've been sent. It says this is such an awful subject, but I've been in this position, never being able to speak out against someone who used me like this from age 12 until I had his child at age 19, and I'm nearly 40 now, and I've never been able to fully come forward and take what happened to me beyond the police interview stage, as the man completely controlled me, and I still live in fear of how he still has the ability to control me even now. These girls coming forward give people like me strength and belief that I may too one day be able to confront what happened to me and move my life forward from the standstill it is at now. And I believe that this woman has very bravely come on to talk back to talk to us today. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Thanks very much indeed for coming on the programme. Why did you feel that you wanted to speak out now?
Well, I was just listening on the radio, and I was just listening to, I think it's so easy that these people will not be believed because Jimmy Savile isn't with us anymore. With me, I would always want retribution, but you always seem to consider other people's feelings. So you never get time to to think about yourself.
You're always worried about what somebody else will think.
Yeah. Now, I took this as far as the police interview stage, and I was going to continue on until he told me that he had been speaking to this other person, and that the other person had spoken with his family regarding it. Now, I have my own child to worry about, so with that sentence, I just stopped everything, and I just thought I'm going to have to wait until she's such an age that I can do with it myself. So it basically is self-sacrifice in a lot of instances that you just want to protect everybody around you.
And that's his child?
Yes, and he denies.
Tell me what happened.
Well, I met him at sporting, and then he just befriended me, and then he organised for me to become his babysitter. And when I became his babysitter, he just completely took control of my life. Now, I'm nearly 40 years old, and I can never move this forward until it's dealt with, and I can't deal with it because I'm so busy thinking about other people and thinking about their reactions and thinking about how they'll affect their lives. So basically, I think I just sacrifice my own life, and it helps other people. You know, it's one life ruined rather than ruining 20 people's lives.
Have you had any help?
Yeah, I did. I did once upon a time, and I did have intervention. But then with the way the NHS runs, and with having long waiting lists, then I just basically got lost in the system.
When do you think you're going to be able to talk to your child about this? Will you ever be able to talk to your child about this?
No. I would never, ever, ever want her to ever think. I tell her that she came from something so beautiful and she came from out of love, and I was so in love with him and he was so in love with me, and that's just how I'd like her to think of it.
All I can say to you is that I think you're extremely brave, and thank you very, very much indeed for coming on the programme. And while it's not my place to say it, but you seem like a very strong person, and you should possibly think about going back to the police if you can. I know it's hard, but you know yourself that unless you fight against these things, they'll keep happening to other people. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
We're going to get you some numbers, and we're going to get you as much help as we can on this, but I really, really appreciate you taking the time to come on and speak to us on Talkback. And the best of luck with everything, OK?
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much,
okay,
indeed.
Thank you. Bye.
The number on Talkback today is 08459 555 678, and you can also text us on 8177. That, because this is probably Europe's biggest free music concert this year, and walking in here today, it really does look like a proper festival. I'm old enough to have been to a few over the years, and you walk in down Browning Drive, and you know, instead of the usual sort of cyclists and people walking their dogs, there are police with sniffer dogs, there are cones up everywhere, there are railings up everywhere, and then when you get through about three layers of security, it's all the rigging vans, it's all the hot food vans. We couldn't even get into the venue. I'm standing outside the venue for you right now. It's windy, it's raining a little bit, and I'm not really liking the sound of Jeff's soggy Saturday.
Oh, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Everybody's going to turn up in cagoules and stuff, you know, so it'll be great. But I mean, I think you're right. I think the buzz in the city is tremendous, you know, from taxi drivers to hoteliers to shopkeepers, you know, everybody's talking about this huge influx of people, and you know, it's the city's pulsating, really, is, you know, with the vibe already, and it hasn't even started, and it's phenomenal, really, really great.
Completely. And I mean, if you look at the social network sites right from the very beginning, since this was first announced, they were alive with chatter about this, and people, not just, you know, from Derry, obviously, because there were lots of tickets that went outside of the city. I say lots, not nearly as many as went to people living within Derry, but still everybody wanted to come and they were just really buzzing about coming here, a lot of them for the first time, and begging for tickets as well online, others looking to swap. That is going to reach absolute fever pitch today. I mean, you could see prices ramping up, you could start to see people getting a bit annoyed as well about the cost of going if they were going to swap tickets on sites, etc. People have gone to extraordinary lengths to get family in London to apply, all sorts of things. So desperate are they to get here for a big weekend. Indeed.
He said, I need a doctor, and he rushed off. There was this girl, do you know, I don't know her name, but it doesn't matter, she was a girl. And I spoke to her, and I talked to her. She said what had happened, and I said there'd been a bomb. But she was really mashed up.
What did you say to her?
I said, was she all right? How stupid was that? She said she thought so. But she wasn't, of course.
And you could see that?
Of course I could see that. What upset me most was I could see that it was really bad. But she, luckily, was in no pain. And she said, am I badly hurt? And I said, yes. You know, I said, yes. And she said, very badly hurt. And I said, yes, very badly hurt. And she said to me, am I going to die? And I said, yes. And she said, my God. She said, just hold me, will you? So I did. And she did die. She died in a state of grace.
You've had a long career in the army, Bob. You were in Bosnia. In your many memories of war, how much has what happened in Ballykelly that night affected you?
Worst. Without doubt, the worst. Because all these people that died were so young. They were so courageous.
What is the future for the Culture Company then? Because there are 18 staff, are they not employed in this department? Are they all going to go over to you? Also, I mean, people are ringing us asking us today, will this move by Derry City Council make positions in the City of Culture Marketing Department untenable? So how many people are going to you? What's going to happen to everybody else? And what's going to happen to the Culture Company?
We have no plans to do anything drastic to the Culture Company. There are a very small number of staff are involved in the marketing team. It just made more sense for them to actually be working with a bigger team in Derry City Council. Indeed, the City of Culture is pressed for accommodation, apart from anything else. The programming team are doing a great job. They will be allowed to get on and do their job. We need to make sure that we deliver on the sort of commitments on projects that meet timescales required by Derry City Council, required by DECAL, and required by key funders.
Sorry, that so could you just answer the question, what's going to happen to all of the staff?
Nothing is going to happen to all of the staff. The staff terms and conditions remain unchanged. The changes that might happen around a small number of people who are involved in marketing will simply be about what office they're working in. There is no change beyond that whatsoever.
Why are you doing it then? If there's such a small thing to do, why bother doing it?
It's a small team, but it's a big challenge. And all I'm doing is taking that small group of people and integrating them into a big team of people so they can deliver on the mission for the city. That is it. That's why we're doing it. And we're doing it because it's essential that we have the maximum resource around the marketing effort. It's critical. It's essential. We don't want just to have a great party for the city. We want to make sure that we drive the economic benefits that occur from City of Culture by making sure that other people come and stay in hotels and shop in the shops and buy restaurant meals and drinks.
I'm going to ask you the question again, Ms. O'Connor, benefit. Because I don't think you've really answered the question about why the Culture Company are failing. You've said they're failing. Why are they failing?
I haven't said the Culture Company are failing. No one has said that. We've said that we really need to maximise the marketing effort. We really need to get the story out of the city and out internationally, and that is why we feel we need to put more marketing resource around that activity. You know, there's no mystery to that. It's about making sure that we have a big team of people, and indeed a city-wide team of people working on city and culture, as opposed to a small group of three or four people in Ebrington. I mean, I don't see that that is a catastrophic change. In any way, it's about making sure there's a team who are committed to the mission.
Some people might ask, what right have you got to do this? And did you take any legal advice? Is there actually a city solicitor at the council offices at the moment from which you took legal advice?
We are the licence holders for City of Culture. So Derry City Council legally are the licence holders for City of Culture. We set up the company. We fund the salaries and running costs of the company, and the right is that it's Derry City Council is there accepting that responsibility in terms of the licence, accepting the responsibility in terms of managing the funds from DECAL and others on behalf of the citizens of Derry, and it's on behalf of the citizens of Derry that we exercise our rights as per letters of offer and legal agreements that are in place.
Can I just put this to you? I have for the past 8 months expressed my view that the marketing function of the culture company was not performing and immediate action was required to redress this failure. In your capacity as chief executive of the culture company, you have failed to deliver any solution. These are your words to Shona McCarthy.
Well, that's a leaked document. I am not going to comment on how or why that's in public domain. I don't think that it serves the interests of individuals or indeed the rest of the staff and the culture company or indeed public confidence for that to be in public domain.
Did you think that the culture company were failing to deliver or not?
In terms of marketing, we have had ongoing discussions about needing to move from a planning phase into an implementation phase around the resources that would be required to manage that activity, and that has been an ongoing conversation. It has involved the chairman, it has involved the chief executive, and it has involved the key funders. And key funders have raised with me their concerns. So I am not reflecting concerns that are simply personal to me. They're the concerns of the council, they're concerns of key funders.
How often do you think about him?
I think about him pretty often because it actually had a it broke my father's heart, and he was dead 2 years later. So that was my big driving force. So you know what I mean? That's what I think anyway. So I actually read a poem. I don't know where I could read it or not because it's pretty emotional. But if you want me to give, I'll probably break down. I'm butts here at the moment. No, I can't.
That's all right. Don't worry at all, Billy. But thank you very much indeed, Marjorie. Are you okay to just one more question about this as well? It's obviously so important for both of you. But if and when you do manage to get a prosecution, I mean that would be pretty historic for a start, wouldn't it, Sarah? I mean, but. Bringing on, I'm always conscious of trying to bring an end to this. How families ever can bring an end to this? Will it ever really be over, Marjorie?
No, I don't think. Well, I can't undo what was done.
Well, people say that you know it's closure and stuff like that. I don't think closure actually exists. Mm-hmm. Closure would be maybe political closure or lawful closure and stuff like that, but. You can't blank out the past. You know, you have memories, they don't go away.
Can I read you something? Somebody's rung in with a call about William, and they say, let me just see, it's just here. Billy McGranery was one of the nicest people you could ever meet in your life. He worked in a sports shop at the bottom of William Street, and I bought my first ever pair of football boots from him. A lot of people of my generation probably did. I keep reading in the newspapers about celebrities being arrested over accusations of sexual misconduct that happened over 40 years ago, but it seems that you can shoot a beautiful man like Billy McGranery dead and get away with it. So there's a lot of people out there thinking about him today. So you're going to keep fighting.
Oh, well, as I say, you know, we've almost reached the end of the road and we're absolutely proud, and without the help of the Pat Finucane Centre, you know, we wouldn't have got where we went. And I'd like to publicly thank Mark Durkin for his delivery of the whatever you would call it, yesterday. But I was in the chambers and he was absolutely brilliant. Brilliant.
Somebody else ringing in, Margaret, says, I'd like to thank the family for speaking out. More power to them. Marjorie, everybody love Billy.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a huge amount of support.
Never heard anything bad about Billy. Ever. What that comment is it comes up so often, doesn't it, Billy? You know, that was the type of person he was, you know.
Listen, thank you both so much, and thank you, Sarah, as well, for coming in. It's really good to talk to you today.